Our sermon title, as you doubtless have observed, is just two words, forever reign. Forever reign. And these two words have immense significance, so much so that we have many hymns and choruses that repeat these two words. What does it mean, and why is it significant that we will forever reign? Well, reign implies that we are in positions of authority, and whatever that authority is, it's never going to end. It will never end. That's your future if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And as I look over the congregation this morning, I don't know anyone here that I would question their salvation and their future to forever reign in and with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We come to the theme for the message. It's very simple. The sons of God rule forever. And with regard to that phrase, the sons of God, I remind you, as I have in recent days, that we're not talking about gender here. We're talking about your position. Whether male or female is immaterial with regard to this statement. You are in the position of a son of God, an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ, and you are going to rule with him forever. Now, recently, on the Sound Doctrine broadcast, I've been doing some messages about angels, and by this I mean the holy angels, and the fact that the world to come was not given to angelic beings. They are real beings. They are spirit beings. They have personality. You can distinguish among them. They have separate names even. But God did not ordain that angels would be in charge of the world to come. He ordained that people like you and me would be in charge of the world to come. And the angels will remain what they always have been, and that is servants of God and of God's people. Now, we could stop here and just take off on this whole issue that is discussed for us in the first two chapters of the book of Hebrews, but all I want to draw to your attention in this regard at this point this morning is verses 7 and 14 of Hebrews chapter 1. And those two verses tell us plainly that the angels were created to be our servants, and they will remain our servants forever. They are the ones who were given to bring messages from God to lost human beings. But here is the interesting thing. It is not the norm, and frankly, as far as I'm aware, still is not the norm and never will be the norm for angels to tell people how to be saved. Angels tell people how to get in touch with people like you and me who will then tell them how to be saved. You see this throughout the New Testament in particular, when there are people who need to be alerted. God will send an angel to them, but the angel always directs them to a redeemed human being who will tell them about the great Savior and his great salvation. And the fact that you and I are still here this morning indicates that that's still God's purpose for us. That's the reason we're here. Now, speaking for myself, but I know I speak for at least a few others in the room, I would have been perfectly happy the day after I got saved to have gone straight to heaven and not been left here. But that wasn't God's purpose. His purpose, and of course I didn't know this yeah, 50 some years ago, when I was, say, 60 some really, when I was born again, I didn't know I was one day going to be an elder at Grace Bible Church. But here I am, and here you've kept me, and the Lord has kept me. And so this was his purpose for me, unbeknownst to me at the time. But God has a reason why you're here today. And in general, not necessarily all the specifics now, but in general, the reason is so that you can tell others about the Savior. That is God's plan and program. And we're going to be looking at this, strangely enough, it may sound, from Revelation chapter 22 in these first five verses. So let's find out about the fact that we, the sons of God, are going to rule forever. And in the first, well, let me just go over the outline with you briefly. There are three places that we want to take note of in our study this morning. The river, the tree, and the throne. But pay particular attention to the throne, because we're going to get introduced to it in the very first verse of this wonderful chapter, and just this section of the chapter, really. We're going to be introduced to the throne there, and we're going to end up at the throne at the end of the chapter. The point is that it has its origin and its destination in the throne of God. Not my throne, his throne. And so let's consider that as we look, first of all, at the river. And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. Now, we're talking about the New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. And there is a street, and this must be a boulevard. Whatever this street is like, there's nothing this size in Valdosta, Georgia. And I doubt there's anything like it anywhere on earth today. But this has got to be a broad street, because in the middle of the street is not a stream or a trickle of water or a spring. There's a river of water flowing down the middle of the street. Not overflowing the street, but flowing down its middle. And then on either side, as we're about to see, the tree of life. And so we have these trees. I believe that it's talking about a series of trees, but they are one species, if I can use that term, the tree of life, on either side of the street and beside the river that's flowing down. What a marvelous street this is. And keep in mind, the city is made of pure, clear gold. It's just, you know, I could just revel in the little bit that we're shown here. And I want to point out to you that, as we're going to see, and we've got at least two more messages in chapter 22 of Revelation, but as we're going to see, the veil is just pulled back a little bit. And by the way, is the word smidgen a real word, or is it just something we people up in Pittsburgh used to say? Well, anyway, a smidgen is just an itty-bitty bit, you know, a drop or two of something, smidgen of something. Well, as I read Revelation chapters 21 and 22, we're just given a smidgen of the glory that is ahead for every one of us who has trusted Christ as his Savior. So let's look a little closer at this river. First of all, it is of the water of life. It's the water of life. This is not just any water. This is aqua vitae. It is living water, and it's crystal clear. Now, you know, and I think I've mentioned this to this group before, but I'll say it again quickly today. I've traveled different parts of the world, not nearly as much as some of you have. And finding clear water, I'm not even talking about crystal clear, just clear, decent, drinkable water is not that easy. And I know there's a lot that could be said wrong about rivers and streams in America, but believe me, compared to other places in the world that I've been, we have wonderful water available to us here. But it's not like this. It's not this crystal clear water. I just revel in that thought of it being crystal clear. And it's coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's the source of this stream that's pouring forth. And again, I've used the word stream, and that's adequate, but this is a river, and it's coming from the throne. It's coming from the seat of authority of the Father and the Son. And it's in the middle of the street. It's flowing down the middle of this vast boulevard, if you will. And that brings us to the tree, our second stop. Let's take a look at the tree. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The wonderful tree of life has 12 different kinds of fruit. Now, I think, you know, you can, with grafting processes, etc., today, you can get some variety among trees today, but I've never heard of one that has 12 different kinds of fruit on the same tree. But I believe this is not one tree. I believe it's a series of trees that are of, if I can use the word species, they are of, maybe I should say type, they are of the type of this tree of life. And they bear their fruit, and they bear it all year long. 12 different fruits born in their season, and they bear every month. Once again, I find this beyond experience in this present world. And the reason being that trees in this present world bear their fruit in different months. So consequently, something that bears fruit, say, in the spring is not bearing fruit in the fall, and vice versa. But this tree bears its fruit all year long. And the leaves of the tree, this is unusual. It's rare for the leaves of a tree to be of any particular value, but this tree's leaves do, and it's translated here, they were for the healing of the nations. Now, the word healing, by the way, you'll find this word, if you go to your Strong's Concordance in the King James, it's translated, even in the King James, this same word is translated in different ways, depending on the context. But this is the Greek word therapeutikos. Does that sound maybe a little familiar? Well, it should, because our English word therapeutic is taken directly from this Greek word. And this is one of the rare cases where I think it is appropriate to read the modern meaning back into the original word. The leaves of the tree are not for healing of diseases as such, because, as some have pointed out, we're in our new bodies, and how could there be any disease? Well, the bottom line is there isn't and there can't be. But therapy is something that is done to be a preventative for any difficulty. And I would submit to you that when we're talking here about the healing of the nations or the therapy of the nations. We are talking about dealing with any issues that remain among the people of God. Not physical issues, but perhaps the way we think, the way we feel about things. And, you know, we read earlier that God is going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. And I think he's going to deal with any wreckage emotionally or mentally or anything of that nature that might still remain among God's people. So, in that regard, do not be distressed about the healing of the nations. In my opinion, this has to do with clearing up and bearing away anything that remains, like tears or anything that would distress us in any way. So that's the tree of life, and it grows on either side, on both sides of the river. And then finally we come to the throne, and this is verses 3-5. And we need to spend some time on these verses. Verse 3, there shall no longer be any curse. Curse? That's right. You recall that when sin entered the world, a curse fell upon the earth, fell upon mankind, of course, and many other aspects of everyday life, so that there's not a one of us in this room, there's not a one who has been on the earth for thousands of years that could remember a time when there wasn't a curse. Adam and Eve were the only ones, quite frankly, that could remember a time when there was not a curse on the earth. And that was probably only a brief time, but that's an issue for another day. All I want to say here is just simply, there isn't a curse any longer. And this would have to do with, particularly with the earth, because the New Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven from God. There can't possibly be anything wrong with the New Jerusalem. It's God's city. He's the one who not only designed it, he built it, he created it. So there can't be the city that has anything wrong with it. But the earth, we want to emphasize that the curse has been eradicated from the new earth. So there's no curse on the new earth. And we go further now in verse 3, the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. In what? In the city. This is why I said we start off with the throne of God. It's the source of the crystal clear river of the water of life, and now we come back to the throne again, but with a different emphasis. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his bondservants shall serve him. This word serve refers to priestly service, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to worship God forever and ever. Now, you and I may, because of our experience in this present world, in this present life, may wonder about our ability even to worship God forever and ever. But we're going to be new people, and it's going to be a delight to do this. It's going to be a delight because, unlike today, and I want you to know, I love you guys. You are the best congregation could possibly be, but you're not perfect. And neither is the guy standing behind the pulpit. And so the point here is that we are going to be perfect people. Not only are we going to be physically perfect, but we're going to be perfect mentally, emotionally, every way you can possibly think. Perfect spiritually. Am I perfect spiritually now? You know, Daryl and I talk about this oftentimes, and we talk about the fact that No, I'm not perfect. I could have done better in the past. I need to do better in whatever days remain to me. And speaking for myself, since I tend to be the teaching pastor here, I think I've said this before to this group, but I'm approaching my 73rd birthday, and I feel like I'm just now getting it right. And thank you, Lois. Yes, that's right. I'm just now learning how to do this right. And I'm thinking, you know, do I have much time left to do all this? So anyway, my point here is that we are going to be perfect human beings, something none of us have ever been before. But we're going to be perfect human beings, and we are going to serve God as His priests forever. And not only this, keep in mind our theme, the sons of God rule forever. I know I've mentioned this to you before, but I bring it up one more time. Don't know if it'll be the last, but one more time. Under the old economy, under the Mosaic law, you could not be a king and a priest. You could be a king and a prophet. You could be a priest and a prophet. But there were no king priests under the Mosaic law. That was the downfall of Saul. Saul of the tribe of Benjamin. He usurped the priestly function as he was king, but he usurped that priestly function, and everything fell to pieces as a result. So, back to our text here, verse 3, there shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His bondservants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. Now, do I think that this is talking about the Father or only the Son, the Lamb? Well, it's certainly talking about the Lamb. There can be no question about that. Is it talking about the Father? Well, if you'll think back with me to chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation, we see there that the Father is seated on the throne. It's not the Son. He comes in a little later. And it's not the Holy Spirit. And it's the Father. And He has form. He's not, you know, just a mist floating around or something like this. So will we see the Father's face? I'm going to suggest to you that we will. And the reason that we cannot do so now is because we have not received our new bodies. We're not immortal. Yeah, I mean, we are potentially, but what I'm saying is we're still in mortal bodies. We could not see His face as we are now and survive. But then I think we can, and I'm going to suggest to you that we will. I could be wrong about this, and wouldn't be the first time. I'd like it to be the last that I'm wrong about anything, but but it wouldn't be the first time. So they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun. Now, we've been over this before, and of course we know the reason. And it's told to us again in verse 5. Because they don't need a lamp, they don't need the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them. But here's what we want to close with. And they shall reign forever and ever. Now, we have emphasized as our theme that we're going to rule forever. The title of the message, Forever Reign. But something is added here. They shall reign. Now, this is not a reference to the Father and the Son. It's a reference to His servants, who are illumined by the light of God. They shall reign forever and ever. In the Greek, this is unto the ages of the ages. How many ages? Well, ages of ages. And the English, and it's a correct translation. It's forever and ever. Forever and ever, we will reign. And that includes folks like Joe and Kate and, you know, Lizzie. We can just go on and on. You're going to reign forever and ever. Angels are not going to do that. They're going to be your servants forever and ever. But you are going to reign forever and ever. What a wonderful thing. And back here we got my favorite young lady who always brings her parents with her. And Ellie Grace, she hasn't attained to an age like these older folks have, where they can make a decision for Christ. But if he were to come back today, she would go to glory as well, and she would reign forever and ever. And she wouldn't be little Ellie Grace. She would be mature Ellie Grace. She would be an adult woman. Would we know her? Sure we would. How? I don't know how. And I'm not trying to make a joke out of this, but it is a little cute. I don't believe we're issued T-shirts with our names on them so that we know each other. Somehow we are going to know, here's Kate and Joe, just to pick two of our favorite people. And they're going to be adult, mature adult human beings in glory. And I don't know what they're going to look like, because right now they're still children, but we'll know them. And we won't have to, I don't think we're going to have to be introduced. Somehow or other, I'm going to recognize Joe, I'm going to recognize Kate. On and on we can go. Hopefully I'm going to be the best looking person I've ever been, and you'll still recognize me. Somehow, I don't know how. Some of you have never seen me other than, a decrepit old man, but I'm not going to be decrepit, and I'm not going to be old, but I am going to be a glorified saint of God in the city of God. And I'm going to reign forever and ever, and so will you. Well, let us give praise to God. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have prepared all these things even before you created the heavens and the earth. But from eternity past, you have known us and you have prepared all this for us. We give thanks to you in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.